Abruptly, the security man opened an unmarked door along the corridor and brusquely gestured Dan to step through. The door snapped shut behind him, and four husky young men in coral pink coveralls, bearing the flying heron symbol of Yamagata Industries, snapped to spine-popping attention. Escorted by this new team, Dan followed the black-suited man through another door to the concrete apron outside the terminal. A palpable wall of noise slammed his ears. An executive-style helicopter stood waiting some 20 meters away, its turbine engine whining, its twin rotors already spinning blurrily. Jet airliners screamed and thundered, making the very air quiver as they swooped in for landings or roared up in takeoffs every few seconds. Planes taxied along the concrete guideways, giant, busy, purposeful aluminum ants, directed by the traffic controllers at the hub of this vast nest of humans and machines. The noise actually made Dan tremble. "I've been away from all this crap too long," he thought as he clambered up the metal stairs of the copter. "It's so peaceful on the moon, I'd forgotten how raucous things are down here." He turned as he stepped through the hatch and shouted, "Thank you for your help," to the security man. The man bowed and said something in return, but it was lost in the uproar of the airport. At least the interior of the chopper was quiet once the hatch was closed. Good acoustical insulation muffled the helicopter's engines to a soft purr. Dan sank gratefully into a thickly padded seat and automatically buckled his safety belt as the copter lifted quickly into the busy afternoon air. He was alone inside the luxuriously appointed passenger compartment. The two pilots sat up front, separated by a thick slab of clear plastic, like a New York taxicab, Dan said to himself. But cabs all over the world now isolated their passengers from their drivers. Violence and crime were no longer confined to one city alone. Even in London, the streets were no longer safe after dark. He took a deep breath, then remembered that he was rushing to the side of his dearest and most trusted friend in order to help him commit suicide. Dan shook his head angrily. "The hell I will," he muttered. 7.
"The man is a menace," said Vasily Malik. "He must be brought under control."
Raffaello Gaetano smiled lazily at the Russian through a haze of cigarette smoke.
"Yes, perhaps. But how?"
The two men were sitting on a park bench on the right bank of the Seine, having walked leisurely from the GEC headquarters up the river until they were almost opposite Notre Dame. Without a word of discussion between them, they sat on the bench, overlooked by the towers and flying buttresses and stone gargoyles of the massive cathedral. Gaetano had immediately pulled a silver cigarette case from his inside jacket pocket and offered one to Malik. The Russian had refused with a shake of his head.
"Non-carcinogenic," Gaetano had said. "Guaranteed."
"No, thanks," Malik replied. "I broke that habit once. I have no intention of starting it again."
It was slightly past noon. The sun felt warm. Boats slid by on the ancient river carrying luncheon customers. Men and women were picnicking here and there on other benches. The hum of automobile traffic behind them was muted by the thick walls containing the sunken highway, but the stench of petrol fumes fouled the pretty afternoon.
"I have a plan in mind," Malik said.
"About what?"
"Randolph, what else?"
Gaetano had spread his arms along the back of the bench and stretched his legs out so that people walking along the paved path had to detour around his gleaming leather Oxfords. He smiled from behind his cigarette at the women who passed by. Suppressing his annoyance, Malik said,
"This is extremely important, you know."
"I know," Gaetano said without taking his eyes off the passing parade. "You hate this man, Randolph." "This is far more important than a personal matter," Malik snapped.
To himself, he added, "I am not some petty Sicilian chieftain pursuing a vendetta."
"Destroying Randolph is of great importance to you," Gaetano said mildly.
"Stopping Randolph is of great importance."
"Whichever."
"It should be important to you, too."
"And why?"
Malik leaned forward, elbows on knees, and forced himself into the Italian's field of vision.
"You are the representative of United Europe on the GEC board of directors. What is the most important problem United Europe faces?"
Gaetano turned his head slightly to look at the Russian.
The most important problem? That's easy. We need to lower the taxes the GEC imposes on us.
Very well. It was not quite the answer Malik had expected, but it was close enough to work with.
How can you expect lower taxes when the Africans and Latin Americans are starving? Even in India, there is a renewed threat of famine, to say nothing of Bangladesh.
Gaetano took a deep puff on a cigarette.
Raising taxes on us will only spread the poverty to Europe. But we need more money for the poor sections of the world, Malik said. The southern hemisphere regions are desperate.
Blowing smoke into the air, Gaetano said, Obviously you have a solution in mind.
Yes. Increase the taxes paid by the space industrialists.
Good idea, if you can get away with it.
They make enormous profits, Malik pointed out eagerly. Their tax rates are much lower than comparable industries on Earth.
The reason they always give is that they take much greater risks up there on the moon and in their orbiting factories, and they claim that they plow most of their profits back into expanding their operations.
Randolph and his ilk live like bloated plutocrats. They think they can hide themselves away from the public eye, living on the moon or on their enormous private estates as Yamagata does.
Gaetano flipped his half-smoked cigarette into the river, smiling.
I know you have tried very hard to expose Randolph in the media. Wasn't it you who sent that investigative reporter to the moon?
Malik frowned.
The bitch jumped into his bed the instant Randolph crooked his finger at her.
Now she's a vice president or something for the Lunar News Corporation, isn't she?
He's baiting me, Malik realized. This oily Sicilian puppy dog is making jokes at my expense.
The Russian forced himself to an icy calm.
Whatever Randolph has done in the past is of no consequence now. He may have managed to elude justice, but this time I have him where I want him.
Really?
Really. His own greed has tripped him up. He bought out a smaller competitor when the other man was facing bankruptcy over a fine imposed by our lunar tribunal.
Gaetano's eyes narrowed. That new set of regulations you pushed through last winter.
Precisely.
Malik's appreciation of the Italian went up a notch. Hardly anyone on the board had bothered to read all the fine print in what was supposed to be a dry revision of technical safety specifications.
How could a man so smart fall prey to such a trick? Gaetano wondered aloud. Surely he has lawyers who would protect him.
Greed, Malik answered. Then, unable to hide his delight, he smiled and added,
And lust.
Lust? Gaetano's heavy dark brows rose.
Ah, the lawyer he used was a woman.
A very clever woman, said Malik, who will soon be employed by the GEC in San Francisco, which is her hometown, I believe. Gaetano considered this for a few moments, absently brushing his thin mustache, then said,
So you can confiscate Randolph's entire empire, then?
Congratulations, I suppose.
Not only Randolph's company, Malik said. Any corporation that is linked to Randolph by partnership agreements is also subject to confiscation.
Really?
The regulations provide so. That means that you can start proceedings against Yamagata or anyone else that Randolph has links with.
Precisely so. Gaetano gave a low whistle.
I am impressed.
Malik inclined his head in a brief nod of acceptance.
What more do you need? Gaetano asked.
He is no fool, Malik conceded.
Aloud, he replied, I intend to, sequester Mr. Randolph while we move through the legal procedures of confiscation. Everything will go much more smoothly and quickly if he is not available to interfere.
The Italian said nothing, but his expressive features showed that he was paying full attention.
It is possible, however, that Randolph's lawyers, his other lawyers,
yes, Malik grinned,
his other lawyers may appeal directly to the GEC board on this matter, whether Randolph is available to direct them or not. If they make such an appeal, you will need a simple majority of the board to reject them.